How is everybody doing? And welcome back for another Strength Chat episode. Today, I have got a very special guest for you all. Today, I'm joined by a doctor of physical therapy, an S&C specialist, and one of the minds behind the Prehab Guys. Today, I am joined by the one and only Craig Lindell. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Stephen.
No worries at all. Thanks a lot for taking the time to jump on. How are you? What's been happening in your world recently?
Everything's going really well. And, yesterday was a super exciting day for us. We've been working extremely hard behind the scenes, launching a new product. So we finally launched our new app. It's a new membership. It's been something that Mike, Arash, and I have been, it was a vision that we had 6 years ago. And it's been something that we've been grinding away at for like two and a half years. So yesterday was a really special day. And the next 2 weeks are going to be really exciting for us.
Awesome. So maybe celebrating after the 2 weeks if there's a lot going on.
That's right. Yeah. Yesterday feels like we just started our trek on a marathon. The launch is going to be long. It's going to be grueling. But you gotta have fun with it.
Awesome. And obviously, you know, I touched on and had a brief introduction there. I know for myself, having followed a lot of the content and information that, you know, the Prehab Guys have been putting out there. But for anyone listening who might not know your background, sort of how, you know, the Prehab Guys came about, just want to give a little bit of a background to yourself.
Yeah, let's do it. So even before the Prehab Guys, I played sports growing up. I got injured playing sports. I experienced physical therapy firsthand. That's what got me interested in the field. So then I went to college studying kinesiology, working as a trainer, getting my own reps in the gym, learning firsthand what not to do and what can make it hurt on your body. And then went to grad school, got accepted to physical therapy school at the University of Southern California. That's where Mike, Arash, and I met. We were classmates. And during our second year of grad school, we came up with the idea of the Prehab Guys. And that's because at the time, social media was very, very green, very new. And it was a wide open opportunity to be giving people information and education. And the information and education that we saw on there was incorrect. It was inappropriate. And it was by individuals who weren't qualified. So we saw an opportunity to better educate people all around the world about what physical therapy can truly be. Because when you're in school, it's an echo chamber. You talk to your classmates, you feel like you can heal the world with physical therapy. Like someone has a skin issue, you'll try to convince yourself that you can heal them, right? But then once you step out of that classroom and reality kicks in, everyone has a perception of physical therapy. And we didn't like the public's perception of physical therapy. So we're like, all right, we have to change that perception. We have to make it cool. We have to make it engaging. And it has to be in the current times. And video content was the answer and the key at that time. So since 2016, we've been creating content, posting almost every single day. Now the team has grown so much more than just Mike, Arash, and I. We create content on our website via blogs, podcasts, YouTube videos, Instagram posts, Facebook posts, Twitter posts, even TikTok nowadays. You just have to keep up with the times. And here we are. Now we have an app where it's all about teaching you how to take control of your own health, and you get access to every single program and a workout library that we've created. So we're really just trying to change the game. You know, in my opinion, this is the era of knowledge. If there's something that you need or something that you need to know, you're 99% of the time you're able to access it at your fingertips. Healthcare, strength and conditioning information, it really shouldn't be any different. So we're just trying to trailblaze a path in that direction.
Awesome. And it's like what you mentioned there, you know, at the start of social media now, like what you mentioned there, Twitter, TikTok, there's so much information out there. Whereas before it was like you had to really dig around. Whereas, you know, right now there's probably too much information, and it's trying to, you know, filter that out a little bit. So what is actually being put out there is actually going to help people. I know, you know, that's why I started the podcast, you know, so that, you know, we can put information out there that people can actually use. One question that I like to ask is, with all the content and information that you've put out there, you know, how the prehab guys have grown, who were your sort of biggest influences when you were starting out? I know obviously you're saying there, you know, going to school, you know, that you're learning those things, but what coaches, what physical therapists were you looking at that you were thinking, yeah, do you know what, actually, you know, that's what I want to get to and maybe surpass or, you know, try and build on?
Yeah, I've been asked this question in the past, and every time I'm done the podcast, I'm like, damn it, there is one person who I can definitely give recognition to, because I'm like, ah, there's so many people or there's so many things and I just always forget. But Kelly Sorrett, Kelly, forgive me for not giving you recognition and probably a dozen other podcasts. I think Kelly was honestly the true trailblazer. I mean, if you look at his early day content, if you just try to search content back in those days, I mean, we're even talking before I was in grad school, when I was still in undergrad and even high school, Kelly really just broke barriers and was like, you know what, dude, like, let's film these videos in my backyard, in my garage. And he really helped to put physical therapy in the limelight as to, hey, it's so much more than just rehabbing injuries, working in hospitals. Like, oh wow, this is information that actually can be used in a benefit to people who actually enjoy working out from a fitness perspective or a strength and conditioning perspective, powerlifting perspective. So for me, when I was in grad school, you know, I always tapped into his podcast. I always took a look at his content, what he was doing, because it was like, this is epic. So you have to give recognition when recognition is due. And, you know, Kelly was definitely a major, major player for me.
Definitely. Yeah. I am absolutely the movement that he's put out there and the information out there. I think I still actually have one of his books that he put out there. So,
oh yeah,
especially with that, I think it's one of those things where that information is still relevant, because people are still referring back to it. And then, you know, the only maybe that the format has changed in terms of, like what you've said, you know, Twitter, TikTok, and, you know, moving as that's progressed. Diving into sort of the main topics that I had in mind, obviously the phrase sort of prehab, you know, talking about trying to put things and trying to be preventative, if you like, and at the start you wanted to put knowledge out there. What's the thought process behind rehab? What's sort of what's the definition to you, and what knowledge are you trying to, you know, pass on to athletes or clients or other physical therapists, if that kind of makes sense?
Yeah, great question. So prehab, it's just proactive rehab, preventative rehab, whatever rings and rhymes with the user and consumer, is the way that I like to phrase it and the way that I want people to perceive it. It's the perception of, what is it that I can be doing to optimize my health, take care of any nagging aches or pains, rehab injuries, and do our best to absolutely minimize the risk and prevent the chance of future injuries. You know, if you even look at the shirt that I'm wearing right now, like, can't believe I'm up this early wearing this t-shirt. It's so hot here in LA. Usually I'm wearing a tank top or no t-shirt at all in the apartment. But there's brackets around the P. You know, when we started this company, we were like, hey, we really want the emphasis to be prevention. What can people do proactively? Because as students at that time, we had gone out on rotations and we were working with patients in the clinic who were dealing with nagging aches and pains, or they had 2, 3, 4 different surgeries, or they had some tiny little issue that now just turned into this full blown chronic pain. And Mike Arash and I would connect because we were great friends at the time, you know, within our little group. And it was like, dude, these people are just dealing with these terrible things. And if they just got the right information at the right time, like there's a solid chance that it would not be blown to this level. And they would actually be feeling much better and moving better. So we were like, why can't we just teach people how to do things proactively? Or how can we find a way to get people to just move and exercise and actually do things before it's a problem? So that's the emphasis with prehab. It's proactive, because the reality is, like I said, there's brackets around the P because it's not a full circle. We can't 100% prevent injuries. If anyone out there tries to tell you that or sell you on that, just run away, turn the opposite direction, because it's a lie. It's false. I mean, we will market and we will tell people, hey, do these things to help mitigate the risk of injuries and prevent injuries. But we're the first people to raise our hand and say you cannot 100% prevent injuries. It's a matter of, can you get educated and learn the things that can actually help you personally? Because prehab to me is going to be different than prehab for you, right? Like if I enjoy playing soccer, there's research out there that, hey, soft tissue strains like hamstrings, quads, adductors, high risk of injury for those muscles. So you better be doing off-season training and in-season training for those muscles. Versus if you're a power lifter, you know, being mindful of your volume, your training intensity, your macro cycles, deload weeks, on weeks, when to go for PRs, when not. Like those are variables that you may be wanting to focus on a little bit more compared to what specific exercises are you doing. So prehab to every single person is different. What we're trying to do is educate people on, hey, learn what it is that prehab is for you and just do it. Make it a lifestyle thing, because really it is just, prehab just may end up being just exercising and moving daily for you.
Yeah, I thought that was a good way to sum up from what you said there. You know, prehab might just be exercising. You know, and it's based on that individual. It's interesting that you mention about injury prevention, because it is that question: how do you know if you're preventing injuries until you actually get injured? Especially if we're playing in sport, because it's not always, you know, it's either going to be overuse and we're not keeping an eye on those niggles. It's kind of that phrase of, I can't remember the quote, but it's something, we don't want that whisper to turn into a roar or something along those lines. And there was a couple of things there that, you know, you said about, you know, just keeping on top of things. So we're feeling strong, we're feeling healthy. And do you think that's where sometimes people need to judge whether their prehab is working, whereas by the information that you're putting out there, trying to change people's perspective of trying to, yeah, this is going to prevent all of your injuries, and trying to measure injury prevention, if that kind of makes sense, what I've said there?
Yeah, I mean, what we always are trying to empower and educate people, especially with our programs, is assess, don't guess. So for instance, if you like doing a lot of overhead lifts or upper body lifts, I mean, there's plenty of different assessments that you can do to just get an objective measure on how strong are your shoulders, how strong are your shoulder blades, how strong is everything side to side, how strong is everything on the back of your shoulder versus the front of your shoulder. So do these objective measurements and then keep tabs on it. Do these exercises working towards these things? And these movements are supported by science and evidence within these demographics that, hey, if you're at these benchmarks, you know, you're going to be better off versus if you don't hit these benchmarks. This is what they saw in these studies, where there's a X percent increased chance of injury. So that's how we operate in the clinic. That's how we try to operate with our programs. And a lot of the education that we're putting out there, it's teaching people just what is it? It's all about context at the end of the day. So individualizing prehab, providing context, and then giving people the opportunity to assess themselves and keep objective benchmarks. You know, when you're doing all these exercises or this programming, how are your performance metrics doing? Are they getting better? Are they getting worse? What about subjectively? Like, are you taking care of your body? Are you sleeping? Are you feeling good about your workouts, or are you feeling thrashed and trashed after your workouts? So it's just education, I think, is a major key player. You know, you bring up a great point, and like, this is how I operate. We're always trying to tell people, we're trying to teach you how to find those boundaries. But at the end of the day, there's only one way to really know a boundary. And sometimes you have to step over that boundary. And myself recently tweaked my neck, recently tweaked my shoulder. I ran a marathon back in March. I dealt with so many tweaks, aches and pains and injuries. And every time it happened, I was like, this is such a good opportunity. I was like, it's bittersweet because damn it, it hurts. Now it's going to mess up my training. But at the same time, this is actually only going to make me better at my job and make me better at educating people as to like, what were the signs? Were there any signs? Like I tweaked my neck reaching down for my dog in a funky position and my arm got stuck. And sometimes it's the straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, sometimes things just happen. I was like, crap, is this a me turning 32 getting old injury? Like that's the reality of life. But at the same time, the way that I like to explain it is, if there's a storm coming to your house and you care about your house, the news anchors, everyone's telling you that the storm's going to blow your house away. So are you just going to leave your house to fend for itself, or are you going to guard up your windows? Are you going to do everything you can to try to protect your house? I would imagine you would if you care about that investment. Or, you know, if you drop something and it's fragile and you don't want it to break, are you going to try to save it? Are you going to, like, there's so many different examples that you can use. And it's just human nature to try to protect something. Like if someone is going to throw a punch at your face, are you just going to stand there and take it? Or are you going to try to move? Are you going to try to block it? It's human nature to try to prevent things from happening and try to protect things. We should view it the same way with our bodies, exercising and moving and training programs.
Absolutely. I think there's some really good, I'm a big fan of analogy, so I really like those sorts of things, because I think people can, I know I did, you can resonate with it. You know, you would do the same, like say if there was a storm, you would look after your house, you would duck from a punch to protect yourself. And that's the same thing with exactly like what we said about the prehab side of things. One thing that you mentioned there was boundaries, and what kind of came into my head was two questions actually, or two parts. From a client's point of view, in terms of boundaries, of, you know, how far are you going to commit to, you know, taking into rehab? Do you think sometimes people can overcommit to it and maybe lose the efficiency and just spend hours and hours warming up and forget, and actually their prehab becomes their training? And then from a trainer or a coach's point of view, in terms of their boundaries, you know, being, oh well, I've watched this clip, so I know exactly what exercise to do, rather than increasing their knowledge and, you know, reaching out to physical therapists such as yourself and trying to have collaborate more rather than feeling as though they can do everything themselves. I know that was two quite long questions on both sides there, but does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think I followed there, and let me know if I missed anything. For the first part, you hit it on the nail. I mean, because we're in the era of knowledge and it brings so many good things, it's also a double-edged sword. And now more often than not, we're dealing with analysis paralysis. Way too many people, especially the people who we see in person, are like, oh, I feel like I'm just spending 4 hours a week on my warm-up and my mobility stuff and prehab stuff. And it's like, uh-oh, we've swung the pendulum too far. So how can we scale back? How can we simplify this? And listen, if you're going to go for a run this day and you're short on time, your warm-up is just walk for 5 minutes, you know, and just go for a run, right? Or you're tight on time, you want to do a leg day. Usually you have this big, great routine and you want to hit squats, what should you do before squatting? Just maybe squat with some assistance and just get deep into the position and just breathe and do a couple warm-up sets. 100%, the industry needs to simplify things. And because there's so much information out there, it can be really hard for consumers to know, well, what is enough versus what is too much. And I was explaining it to one of my clients the other day. When it comes to like progressive overload and training programs, how can you mix things up? It's like, just pick one variable. Like last week, if you did 3 sets of 10, next week, you can do 3 sets of 12. You could change your rest times from 60 seconds to 45 seconds. You could change the tempo and you can increase the eccentric by a few seconds, or you can hold the top end position for a few extra seconds. So I really like simplifying things for people. Also, for the people who want all that information, I'm happy to give it to them. I think it just kind of comes down to context and everyone's goals.
Yeah.
And I think that's how we can really simplify things. The second question, you know, how could we find a way to collaborate more and people stay in their lanes? Again, now, because it is the era of knowledge, I feel like, and then more than ever in the world, everyone's kind of trying to work for themselves. Everyone sees them as a potential brand. You know, it's like, how can I brand myself? How can I stand out from everyone else? How can I create my own niche? And this is where you get these weird titles, like these people are movement specialist coach, or all these different titles out there, versus just like, hey, before we only had like one category, two categories.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think to an extent, it's people trying to market themselves and they're trying to find ways to increase their business because they want that flexibility. They feel like they want a lot of skill sets in their toolbox. But if there's anything that I've learned over the years that I can share with anyone who has been practicing longer than me or shorter than me, usually it's one of those things of like, hey, someone who's new, someone who's fresh, because I think it's called like the Dunning-Kruger effect. The longer you practice, the more that you learn, the more that you realize you don't know. And early on, that's, like I said, back in school, echo chamber, you think you can heal the world. And coaches, even PTs, like coaches feel like they can help people rehab. And then PTs think that they can carry people right into personal training and strengthening and conditioning. And now I know my lane because I've tried the lanes. Sometimes to establish your boundaries and your barriers, you have to overstep those barriers and boundaries. It's a matter of, what are the benefits versus the risk of overstepping those boundaries? And can you minimize the risk? Can you minimize the loss and diminishing returns and reap some of the benefits? But if you go too far, then you're going to help establish your boundary. And we're humans. And I think we just learn by experience the best, or having really good mentors and people who've been there and done it and say, don't bother doing it. And more importantly, I think what can really help is getting the word out, podcasts like this, everyone sharing the message of just, hey, like for instance, right now, I have patients, I'm a physical therapist, I have people who want to get back to an Ironman. I'm willing to help them from a PT standpoint. But at the end of the day, it's like, we need you to look into finding a coach, or you need to look into finding a training program. And I know where I fit. But it's going to be hard for me to get you to the finish line. I'll help you get to the finish line, but I'm not going to be the best person to put together your entire program. And same thing, if someone came to me for like overhead snatch program, it's like, no shot. If you end up with some shoulder pain during it, I can help you out. But you want to get back to what you were doing. Let's bring in some reinforcements.
Yeah, definitely. I thought that was really, really well explained. Do you think there, because obviously right now, you know, especially since COVID, everyone's an online coach, and we've already mentioned that there's so much information out there. Do you think that's where sometimes we see programs and we see people working with clients, the balance shifts maybe too far one way or the other because they're trying to, I don't know whether show off is the right phrase, but trying to impart as much knowledge as they can and throw as much as they can, rather than exactly like what you said. You know, you can point them in the direction of training, but you've had that experience of knowing what your expertise are, what your lane is.
Yeah, I think in the ideal world, everyone would stick in their lane and they would only create content on what they know is best. But because consumers are now going to the internet, I think the stat is like now from 14, 15 year olds to mid 40s, a lot of like it's 70 to 80% of their information and knowledge is coming from online resources.
Right.
So because of that, I think practitioners and providers and coaches, they feel obligated to create more content in order to compete with everyone else who is online. And they always start out by creating content that is their niche. And then next thing you know, well, if I want to be more competitive or if I want to create more content and bring in different demographics and increase the volume and the business that I'm doing, then I have to spread out the content that I'm creating. And next thing you know, you get people who are just touching the surface on different topics and not diving into it, which can lead other people to like to review it and be like, that's not fully correct, or why are you spreading that message? And it leads to the distrust and the lack of collaboration. And it's this vicious cycle of if everyone just niched down and everyone worked together and referred people to everyone else, the world would go round. But it's like it's just competition and ego, and how can I find a way to leverage myself to be able to help every single person that comes by my online door. And you know, for us, it's like I'm not saying that we're perfect either, right? Like we try to have content on everything, but at the same time, the three of us, we covered so much content, and then it came to a point where, hey, we're lacking content in different niches, but it's not what the three of us are best at. So we're going to recruit people to join our team that's their expertise and that's their specialty. So our blogs, our podcasts, we have people helping us write that content where this is what they do day in and day out. And they walk the walk, they talk the talk, because I wouldn't feel comfortable writing content on that topic and have you question me about it. I'd be like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I think there was a good point there where you said, you know, a lot of people can put so much content out there, spread themselves so thin, and it builds that mistrust. And I think especially, you know, as personal trainers, as coaches, as physical therapists, trust is, I mean, we work with people, so you're going to have the trust. If someone's coming to you with an injury, if people are coming to you with goals that they want to achieve, they're putting their trust in you to get there. And do you think that's where, you know, because, you know, people try to put so much content out there, that this is where maybe the quick fix mentality comes from, rather than, right, what is it that we need to put in place to try and get this person back to running or squatting or get them out of pain? What kind of your thoughts on that?
Oh, I was reading a book yesterday and it was such a great phrase. I look forward to using it more often, where we always talk about things go through the roof in a good way. Well, right now, the human attention span is going through the floor. Like the media, social media, the way that everything is delivered to us from a tech perspective, it's actually training us to have a really short attention span. And it's also training us that the more that we can find convenient things that are we're going to have the perception that it's a really quick fix, that's what we're going to value the most. So it's now become a tactic on social media where let me market something as a quick fix. Let me market something that makes me look trustworthy. And also, let me put together the messaging where it's going to resonate with the target audience in a certain niche. And now I'm going to grab that person's attention, because it's all about attention. What is it that's going to get someone to stop scrolling to take a look at my content? Because once you get the person locked in and you have their attention, you have that much greater chance of them opting in and taking the offer that you're trying to sell. So we're just getting trained. Take a look at the way the content is going. When we started, Instagram only allowed you to post a 15-second video or a photo. There was no reels. There was none of this crazy short form TikTok stuff. Like, it was 15 seconds, bare minimal bones, and that was it. And then it went to 60 seconds. And really, it's social media companies battling with one another that, okay, social media goes to 60 seconds. Now Facebook has to come out with something, and then Facebook acquired Instagram, and now they have long form. YouTube eventually was like, oh, everyone likes the short form content. Now I have to come out with YouTube Shorts. And then TikTok came into the mix, and it's super quick videos, like 5-10 seconds. Oh, Instagram now has to come out with a Reels effect and feature to have a ton of short content. And then, oh, TikTok, well, let me spread myself thin and do what everyone else is doing, so everyone stays on the platform, and now I can do longer videos. So it's like social media companies are training the human behavior, and everyone is just trying to adapt to it, which is getting people to buy into this stuff. Like, the reality is there is no quick fixes, but that is what humans value. It's crazy. If you read in the more marketing stuff, like, what humans inherently value are the things that are not the best for us, but we're getting trained to value those things because we perceive them being higher value than actually what is best for us. Like, I can't fix your pain in a second. I'm not Houdini, but you value that more than me giving you the tools and the education to actually fix it long-term, because putting in that hard work, that time, that effort, that sacrifice, it's hard, and it doesn't come off as something that you value in the moment. It's a burden. Like, that's the problem with pain. Is actually, it's a guilt purchase.
Yeah. And with that, because it's true, and I know, you know, maybe a slight tangent, but when you mentioned there about, you know, everyone's trying to keep pace with everybody else, the content's getting shorter and shorter, and people are only seeing snippets, and then, you know, trying to think that is just seeing an exercise out of context, it might not be the right thing for the client or person that they're working with. How do you, or what do you believe is the best way to combat that, to actually, you know, provide education to, you know, practitioners and clients to try and, you know, get them out of this, well, I just want to fix it right now. Like, it isn't going to, that phrase, Rome wasn't built in a day. You know, you're not going to get out of pain straight away. Might be for a little bit, but then it's going to come back, which for me would cause more frustration if it's just coming and going.
Yeah, that was definitely my social media soapbox. So feel free to skip through that if you want to. But like I mentioned earlier, human behavior, a lot of us just learn by experience. And I think that the pendulum has swung where everyone is marketing these quick fixes. Some consumers are going to buy into it, and they're going to try it out, and they're going to realize that it's not a quick fix. So the world will lose trust with that marketing pitch. And then everyone is going to go back to understanding and knowing, well, this has worked in the past, or, you know, this is what the people who are trustworthy and they've been around for a while, this is what we're preaching. So we just have to keep getting the good message out and letting people know that you have to value putting in the work. You have to value working to something that is long-term. It's delayed gratification, And coaches, professionals, practitioners, they just have to trust that recipe. Like, don't fall for the other things, because you're not going to stand out. You're not going to look any different. And that's a problem if a consumer tries something that isn't yours, but you use the same marketing pitch, because, oh, I'm not falling for that one again, you know? So you just have to, you have to trust what you know, and know that there's long-term dividends to that strategy. And just niching down and finding a way to build trust, because it's really hard to gain trust. It's really, really easy to lose trust.
Absolutely. I think that's a really good point. It goes back to, we touched on it a little bit earlier of, you know, we work with people. You need to have that trust and be seen as a source of, I don't know what the phrase I'm looking for, maybe a source of information or reliable, you know, that that feeling of someone can feel comfortable coming to you. And I think that's the same, not just from a client or an athlete looking for somebody that they're working with, but also like what we mentioned, the coaches, the PTs, the practitioners, they have to trust the process of, you know, it's an ongoing education. The, you know, it's not going to be right all the time. You know, it's that thing of, how do you get better at squatting? You need to get the reps in. You know, we said it at the start, you know, you need to learn and speak to other coaches and develop that skill, so that you have that trust in yourself that you can put something out there, which, you know, I think we've, like what we've said, with so much information out there, it's just really hard to just stick with what works. You know, the people that are putting the crazy things out there all the time, there's a reason why they're the crazy things, and there's the reason why, you know, people who are doing the same things are getting, you know, much better results, or probably much better consistent results. Quite a lot of things touched on there, Craig. The last question that I like to ask, and you've kind of given quite a few words of wisdom there, but from everything that we've spoken about, from either the clients listening or the coaches and practitioners listening, what would be your take home points or words of wisdom?
Oh, I gotta close this well. I've spoken a lot. I definitely have that tendency, and in moments like this, I just need to speak less. And I would just say, just simplify it. Trust what you know. Trust what has worked. Niche down and simplify. The smartest people in the world are able to simplify a message to a child. And that's what we've always focused on. It's how can we educate and empower people so that they understand it? As long as our information can educate a fifth grader, we feel really confident that what we're putting out there is good. Like, we have to avoid analysis paralysis. A lot of the issues that people are dealing with in this world, that they're seeking out knowledge and help, is because there's too much information out there. So if you just simplify everything, you're going to spend less time investing in your own service or your product, and you're actually going to get better returns. So I would simplify.
Words after my own heart there. I'm a big believer in that. That's exactly why, you know, I wanted to ask you onto the podcast. That's exactly the why, you know, I've followed, you know, the prehab guys for such a long time. I think a lot of things can be overcomplicated, and, you know, a lot of people can get lost, not just athletes and clients, but, you know, coaches and PTs as well. Whereas, you know, I said before, you know, before we started recording, that's the whole reason why I kept with the name Strength Chat, because there's nothing there. We haven't, you know, gone into the minutiae of, you know, the muscle attachments and ligaments attachments and all those sorts of things. There's information out there. There's a reason why, you know, the textbooks have been written. Whereas, You know, I think in terms of, you know, actually putting all that into practice, it doesn't need to be overcomplicated. And I know that's a big lesson that I've learned, that, you know, if you're speaking to someone and all of a sudden they just glaze over, right, you've maybe gone a little bit too far there. Really, really appreciated you taking the time to jump on, Craig. I thought that was a really good chat and some really useful information. For everyone listening who might have any questions about what we've chatted about there, can see the content and information that yourself and the Prehab guys put out there. Where can people find you and reach out to you?
Yeah, so if you just search our website, theprehabguys.com, if you search Prehab on social media, you're bound to find it. If you search Prehab on the App Store, you're going to find our new app. So we actually are running, I mean, constantly, there's always going to be a 7-day free trial. So you'll get access to all of our content in the app for free. Like I mentioned earlier, it's a very exciting time for us. It's a giant launch. We've worked really, really hard simplifying the information and putting it in the application so that if you have an ache or pain, you want to optimize your health, you want to focus on minimizing the risk for injuries, again, in the context to you and learn what prehab is for you, definitely check out our app. And last thing that I want to say, we can continue on the S-word train in addition to simplifying soft skills. Remember, you're working with human beings. Treat the person like they're a friend, like they're a family member, like you would want to be treated. And if you work on those soft skills, that's how you gain trust. That's, soft skills go so much further than knowledge. It's actually kind of crazy.
Absolutely. Do you know what? As I was nodding there, literally had this conversation at the start of the week. And it's kind of, you know, how would you want somebody speaking to your mum? Or speaking to, you know, your grandma or something like that. I know, obviously, you know, it'll vary, but it's that thing of, you know, speak how you would want to be spoken to, how, you know, you'd want your family members to be spoken to, because, you know, the art of coaching, or, you know, it's building relationship, building that trust, which has been, you know, a common theme of what we've said there. And yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, that, you know, I think those skills that you can learn, you can always learn more. Whereas those soft skills are gonna be really beneficial. Thanks a lot, Craig, for taking the time to jump on. For everyone listening, 100%, you know, if you haven't already seen the content that the Prehab guys are putting out there, 100%, go and have a look at the app. Thanks a lot to everyone listening, and I will see you all next week.
Thanks, Stephen.